Well, when it comes to the things of the Lord, we ought to have this principle, this thought within our heart of hearts, and that is that we want to do our best for Him. No matter what it is, we want nothing but the best for Him. It's something the Bible teaches. Do we have this attitude like Christ had, that we want to do our best for Him? Let's give God the best of our time. Let's give God the best of our talent. Let's give God the best of our treasure, whatever it might be. Give Him our best.
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Welcome to Pulpit Power, featuring Pastor Tony Skeving, Senior Pastor of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Today's message was previously preached before a church audience. And now, here's Pastor Skeving.
All right, let's take our Bibles, please, at this time and turn to the book of Romans and the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. There's a song that I hear from time to time, and it's entitled, I Wonder, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? I wonder, have I done my best for Him? I'd like to talk today about giving our best to the Lord, or nothing but the best for Him. And this verse here is very interesting. It's very overlooked, but there's a very important truth buried within it. It's just one verse, and that's Romans 12, verse 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Again, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That verse there talks about us doing our best, giving our best for Christ, not being slothful in business, but being fervent in spirit. And that's the message, nothing but the best for Him. Let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You, dear Lord, to bless this time and this passage and others like it. And Father, I just pray that we'd listen carefully to understand a biblical truth about doing our best for Thee. And though it seems obvious, Father, may we see the profoundness of it. And Father, how I'm just praying now that we would practice it most of all. We pray now and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From time to time, my wife and I will have folks over that we want to entertain in an extra special way. And so we kind of set the table in a special way. We put the linen tablecloth on it. We put the fancier plates out, use maybe that fancier silverware, and we'll light the candles, and we'll put out the fancy napkins, and we'll put on some nice background music, and just really make it as nice as possible. And then folks will come over, and we'll invite them in, and we'll say, sorry, nothing special, just going to have to take us as we are here, and that kind of thing, invite them in. But what we do at such times is we do our best for them. We put on the dog, it's one way of putting it, or make it extra special, extra fancy. Well, when it comes to the things of the Lord, we ought to have this principle, this thought within our heart of hearts, and that is that we want to do our best for Him. No matter what it is, we want nothing but the best for Him. It's something the Bible teaches. We read in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And it's talking here about doing our best in these areas, this one being loving the Lord. We read in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 2, it says, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God and shalt obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Notice that. It's talking about giving God everything, giving God our very best. Now we find here in Romans chapter 12, it's talking about a number of things in the preceding verses about having love without hypocrisy, abhorring that which is evil, being kindly affectionate one to another, preferring one another, and so on. And it gets to verse 11 and it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, we quite often don't think of the business of serving the Lord as a business, do we? And it's not in the sense that, you know, you have your 9-to-5 and you put your sign out and hang out your shingle and sell this retail stuff and so on. But the work of the Lord is something you could call the business of the Lord, going about the business of the Lord and not being slothful in that business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, nothing but the best for Him. As we consider that, first of all, I'd like to talk about the example of this, the attitude of this, the spirit of this, The one who exemplifies doing his best and having done his best. And of course, I'm talking about the Lord. Look in John chapter 2, if you would. By way of background, we find what's called the very first miracle in the Bible performed by Jesus Christ. And those of you who know the Bible, you know without looking what it is. It's when he turned the water into wine or grape juice. It's the wedding feast at Cana. And we pick up the narration of it here in John 2 and in verse number 1. It says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk," now that doesn't mean they got drunk, that means they drank enough. They were suffice. It was adequate. "But when they had well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou," notice, "hast kept the good wine until now." In other words, what Jesus did, he did first class. He didn't make something half-baked or something nobody would notice, but he actually made the best wine, the best grape juice that anyone there had ever tasted. And would you expect any less from God himself, from the Lord? Jesus Christ is the example of doing his best. That was his attitude. Whatever he did with all his heart. He had a zeal in what he did. In fact, we read in John 9, verse 4, where he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Jesus Christ said, "I must," many times, "I must needs go through Samaria. I must do this. I must do that." He had zeal. And he was an example of someone who did his best for the Lord, always doing prayer up late, praying up early, praying, serving all day long. In fact, in John 4, a couple of chapters later, we find where he's not even interested in eating. And the disciples show up and they say, "Lord, eat." And he said, I have something better to do here. I have something more important to do here. That was just him. And whatever he did 100%. When he cleansed the temple, have you ever read that? And wondered, boy, man, you know, I wonder if that was perceived as going overboard back in those days. I mean, making this whip and driving these men out of this temple and throwing these tables over and running everybody out. Well, that was just the Lord. He had that kind of zeal. In fact, Psalm 69 prophesied that, verse 9, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." Jesus Christ had a zeal in everything that he did. And the disciples, as they saw him cleansing the temple, even here in chapter 2, notice verse 15, we see the New Testament fulfillment. It says, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And they remember this verse back here in Psalm 69. And they said, wow, the Lord is zealous. Are we? That's the big question here. He's the example. Do we follow his example? We sing that. He, the great example and pattern is for me. But do we have this attitude like Christ had, that we want to do our best for him? Jesus Christ looked at the ministry with a healthy intensity. May I say that again? Jesus Christ considered the ministry and he looked at it with what I call a healthy intensity spiritually. We need that. We read in Luke 12:50, he said this. He said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" And the exclamation point is in the original. This is something he said with passion. He said with feeling. He said with all his heart.
wasn't talking about his baptism. He'd already been baptized. He's talking here about going to the cross. And he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened? That means restricted. That means compressed. He said, I'm ready to burst. He said, until it be accomplished. That's the way he was. And he went to Calvary, and he swung on those nails, and he bled, and he did all that for us because he loves us, and because he was zealous to please the Father. Jesus Christ is the example of doing his best. Now, God could have sent an angel to do that, but God sent his very best to die for us. A number of years ago, Ted Turner, who has no time for God, founder of CNN and the Turner Broadcasting Network, very anti-God, as a matter of fact, but he said, you know, I don't have any time for a God who would send his son to bleed and die. Why didn't God go do it himself if God loved the world that much? Why didn't he pay the price for the sins of the world? Of course, that's very blasphemous, isn't it? But let me just say this. If you want to really suffer, watch your kids suffer. Watch your children suffer. I got an email from somebody this morning who one of their children had received second-degree burns, and they said, oh, Pastor, I wish it were me. I wish it were me. You know, if God the Father wanted to give his very best for us, it would have had to have been his son. If he wanted it to mean the most for us, it would have had to have been Jesus Christ. God always gives his best. We see the example, Christ. Secondly, we see the exhortation to us. We are to do our best for him. Nothing but the best for him. We read in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now, in a group this size, I don't know who the next person to be. It's going to be who's going to die and go to the grave. But it's going to be one of us, right? Not trying to be morbid. But it could be you. It could be me. And while we have the time that we have, shouldn't we give it our best? The Bible tells us to do that. That's the exhortation. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Why? Because there's no chance to serve the Lord once we die, once we're in the grave, once our opportunity is over. I mentioned recently, we've had preachers stand in this pulpit that are with the Lord right now. Their opportunity is gone. We've had people that have sat in these pews. They're gone forever from this earth. As far as their human life goes, their chance to serve the Lord is gone. And so while we have this opportunity, and while we put our hands to what we do, we're to do it with all our might. That is the exhortation. We need to work like it's our only opportunity to work, and serve like it's our only opportunity to serve, and give it our best. You know, I just read today, there's somebody who's won the Tour de France bike race over in France. Lance Armstrong, he's won it 7 times, I think. And he's running it again, but he said this will be his last time. You know how grueling a race that is? I mean, you ever stop to think about how much training that takes? Not a couple weeks before the race, but year-round, every day of the year. Lance Armstrong is not a godly man. I don't know if you know much about him. He is an atheist, basically. He's bitter, very bitter at God. And yet he's very zealous for his cause. You know, where are the Christian people who believe in God, love the Lord, who would be zealous and give their very best to God? Where's our heart? Where's our heart to serve? And where's our heart to repent? Do we repent half-heartedly? We read in Joel 2 and verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. There shouldn't be any half-hearted repentance. When it comes to repenting, we ought to give our best to God there. You know, David really messed up. We talked about a few weeks ago. David was a rough sinner. He was a bad sinner, but he was a tremendous repenter. And as he wrote the 51st Psalm, he did it with all his heart. He meant it. And what the prophet Joel mentioned here, he did that. He turned to God with all his heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Serious sinner, yeah, but serious repenter. When we repent, do we really give God our best in our repentance? Or is that the reason we really don't get victory? And we just keep getting that critical spirit again, falling into that sin again, whatever it might be, over and over again, because we don't repent with all our heart. How about witnessing? Look in Acts chapter 18, just a few pages forward. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know a lot of Bible, and I'm just not a very good witness for Christ. You know, you don't have to know a lot of Bible. You just need to know how you got saved and do like Paul did and keep giving that testimony to people. You know, the day I got saved, the next day I went to work and I witnessed to the guy I worked with. And of course, I was a Christian for less than 24 hours. I didn't know any Bible, but I sure knew what happened to me. And I talked to him about it all day long till he finally told me, that's enough now, okay? You know, poor Jack. But listen, you don't have to know a whole lot. Just do the best you can. Do your best for the Lord. We find a guy here in the Bible that I've got kind of mixed emotions about this man, Apollos. And there are some things about him I just kind of shake my head. But there are some things about him I really like. And I'll read something to you here. Let's look at it in Acts 18, beginning in verse 24. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Poor guy. He had zeal, but without knowledge. He was diligent, but he didn't know a whole lot of doctrine. Now notice in verse 26, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." They did this graciously. I'm sure they just kind of, you know, over here, you know, after he got done preaching and put their arm around him and said, you know, what you said was good, but here's some other things to consider. And they spent some time discipling Apollos, and they made him a better Christian. Well, at first, verse 27 says, "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Now, here's a guy, here's Apollos, and he didn't know a whole lot, but he was trying. He was doing his best for God. You think the Lord was upset about that? Or maybe God appreciated that, at least trying his best. That's all God asks, just that we do our best. We see in Hebrews 6:11, it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." God just wants us to be diligent. God just wants us to be zealous. God just wants us to do the best that we can. And the Apolloses have come and gone. It's our turn now. We find this exhortation in the Bible to do our best for him. We ought to do our best as a New Testament church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So he shed blood for his church. So since the beginning, as we could, we've tried to do the best job we could as a church at reaching our area for Christ, at having facilities that are sharp, having ministries that are sharp, having equipment that is nice, nice facilities, clean equipment, first class, whatever we could do, and not extravagant, not wasting money, but being the best that we could be, doing our best for him. You know, if you've ever read about the temple there in Jerusalem, I mean, they spared nothing. I mean, it was fancy schmancy, wasn't it? I mean, there was scarlet, there was purple, there's gold, there's silver, there's all this stuff. And it took years and years to build that temple, and they brought the supplies, they gave, and they built, and they did their best. We really ought to try as a church to do our best for the Lord. You know, when we built the West Wing, somebody walked in, and they saw the chandelier in the middle of the fellowship hall, and they just kind of shook their head, and, oh, that's extravagant, you know, that's frivolous, that's... Look, there's nothing in here that we didn't buy for a song, and we've been paid off for years and years and years, and built the place for a fraction of what it would have cost to have it turnkeyed. I mean, we've never thrown money around, but we've tried to make it as nice as possible with the resources that we have, and do it on a shoestring. When it comes to outreach, we've no hold bars. Whatever it takes to get the gospel to every person in the outlying area, not just the FM area, but through the radio 40,000 square miles, or through the Faith for Life 50 miles in every direction, or whatever it might be, to make everybody accountable. There was a lady this last week who emailed me and commented on the latest outreach that we'd been doing, and she said, "Pastor, it is such a blessing to be able to be part of a church where we can say that nobody in the area will be able to say, that church didn't reach me. That church didn't reach out to me. I mean, if you live in the FM area and you haven't heard the gospel somehow, it is your fault, honestly. Because we have, as a church, have done our best. Honestly, I can say, I could go to my grave right now with the knowledge that we've tried at least to reach everybody that we could reach. They are accountable. Now, folks, we have the greatest cause on the face of this earth. We really do. And woe be to us if some athlete or some business owner or whatever it might be out-hustles us. Whatever we find to do, do it with all our might. And be not slothful in business, but fervent in the Lord. And by the way, the more involved you are in the things of God, and the more you're on board trying to reach our area for Christ, the more you're going to get behind it all. Let's do our best for Him. If it's our time, let's give Him our best time. In fact, I know of an old-time preacher. Every time the clock would chime in the city square there, he would look at who was ever in the room with him and say, "That's another hour that I'll have to give an account of." And the Bible does talk about redeeming the time for the days are evil. Let's give God the best of our time. Let's give God the best of our talent. Let's give God the best of our treasure, whatever it might be. Give Him our best. It's all valuable. A soul needs to be reached, and we ought to ask ourselves, how can we improve on reaching more? Well, we see the example, we see the exhortation, but thirdly, let's talk about the effect. When it comes to nothing but the best for Him, what effect will it have if we do our best? Well, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. May I give you a classic example of somebody who had a continual burden, and excluding the Lord, obviously, if we're talking mere men, human beings, the Apostle Paul obviously would be a great example of somebody who did his best continually for God. Notice in 1 Corinthians 9 what he had to say in verses 22 and 23. He said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Now, Paul here is talking about reaching souls. And he says, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to go for broke. No holds barred. He said, I'm going to spare nothing to reach lost people for Christ. I'm going to be made all things to all men that I might by all means save some or reach some. Now, you and I ought to do our best when it comes to reaching souls. If that means having faith, let's have faith, all right? Let's stick out our necks a little bit spiritually for God. If that means being creative, let's be creative. How can we be more creative in trying to reach souls and still be led of the Holy Spirit in the process? You know, I have tried to make my morning devotion time a time where I get alone and try and get the mind of the Lord and not hear His voice audibly, but in my heart of hearts, get impressed by Him on where we ought to go as a church, where I ought to go as an individual, where our family ought to be going, but as a church, yes, what's the next step for us? And trying to be creative in trying to reach more people. I find very creative means in the Bible of reaching folks. You know, when Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel and had that showdown with the 450 prophets of Baal, that was pretty creative. He wasn't trying to be some showboat, but he saw a way to get a lot of good done in a short time. I've been to the top of Mount Carmel over in the Holy Land. I thought about that taking place many years ago. And it's not a real big mountaintop. It's smaller than this sanctuary, and so you can about mark the place where the people were and maybe where the altar was sitting and that kind of thing. But he went up there, and by the time he was done, there was a huge revival in Israel. Very creative way of reaching people. I think of Christ. He did this all the time. He did his best in whatever he could do to reach people. He illustrated it. He was demonstrative. He talked about having a beam in your eye or a mote in your eye. If he had a large crowd, he got in a boat and made a natural amphitheater out of his audience there, preaching to them. But he did what he could do to try and reach more people. He did his best. You know, Larry Clayton, and most of us know and love Brother Clayton. Brother Clayton, before he got to Fargo some years ago, his sons arrived first, and we were talking about their dad. And he said, you know, Dad, over the years, has tried a zillion things. And he said, probably over half of them haven't worked. But you know, I'd rather have half of Larry Clayton's ventures that did work than the average Christians that didn't even try, basically. You know, Milton Martin has stood in this pulpit before, a veteran missionary of over 50 years, 40 of those down in the jungles of Mexico. And he said, you know, I've probably made more mistakes than any other person I know. You know, I'd take Milton Martin's mistakes, wouldn't you? Imagine over 300 churches going down there. Yeah, that's what I would say, being creative. Well, Paul talked like that. Paul said, I'm all things to all men. Whatever it takes to reach more, I'm willing to do that. Notice in chapter 10, just across the page, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33, he says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul was always thinking about reaching more souls, profiting more people, doing his very, very best for Jesus Christ. And there he said across the page, I'm all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He pulled out all the stops, and the gain of some was worth the means of all, whatever it took. You know, I was on the phone earlier today, this morning, with a fellow who got saved recently through the radio station. He's been coming Sunday mornings. He wants to meet with me here. And he said, you cannot believe what that radio station has done in my life. He said, the change it has brought in my life. You will never know, he said, in this life, what a blessing that's been, what a help that has been to me. You know, when we started that radio station, we were just trying to be led of the Lord, trying to be creative like the Lord was and others in the Bible were, to try and reach more people. When we advertise on television, we're just trying to reach more people. We're just trying to do our best for Christ. When we advertise another radio station, we're just trying to reach more people. My daughter just heard back from somebody who came to her and said, I heard your dad on a radio station. It wasn't ours. And she said, the things he had to say really made me think. We're just trying to do our best for him. The Yellow Pages, if you go to the Yellow Pages, you'll see our ad. And that's there for people. We get people that visit through that. We have billboards. And we're trying to reach people through that. Somebody inquired one time, Pastor, why do you put your picture on the billboards? We've tried them without the pictures. They just don't work. No, just kidding. We had billboards years ago. You remember the green ones? And it just said, we're building lives on them. And Jewel Smith was in town. How many of you would remember Jewel Smith? All right? He's with the Lord now. That's a classic example of somebody who wants to preach here. But we were driving through town. I was just so proud of that billboard. I said, Brother Smith, there's our billboard. And the first thing he said is, no picture. I went, what do you mean? He said, you got to have a picture on there. And I said, well, why is that? He said, well, look at two billboards side by side. If one has a picture and one doesn't, which does your eye go to automatically? And I said, wow, yeah, I see what you mean. I tried it after that. He said, go to a Yellow Page ad. Look at two ads in the Yellow Pages, one with pictures, one without. Where does your eye go? Especially if it's a face. You say, do I know that person? Or that's another human being, that kind of thing. You know, and this person, their thought was, you know, you're trying to be a showboat? Is this some ego trip, whatever it might be? No, I'd be glad to put your picture on there if you want. It doesn't matter whose picture is on there, but it's just being creative, all right? It's just trying to reach more people. It's just trying to do our best. By the way, we have somebody sitting over there that came to church as a result of the billboards. You just never know what it might be. But we're just trying to do our best for the Lord. And you say, well, can't God lead people to the church without those things? Certainly could. And we could be super spiritual and say, well, okay, well, just, you know, just fold it in here and do nothing. But I find this in Luke 16:8, Christ says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. You know, that's an indictment. It really is. We're the children of light. You know who the children of the world are? The unsaved. What a slap in the face it is to God's people to be so podunk that Christ has to say, you know, the unsaved are sharper than the saved. It shouldn't be that way, should it? We ought to be the ones doing our best. We ought to be the ones being the sharpest. God help us to do that. You say, but the Lord can lead without all that promotion stuff. The Bible, again, in our text says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. I believe, and always have, that the Holy Spirit leads according to information. We've got to get the information out there, folks. We've got to get the knowledge to them somehow. We've got to give God something to work with. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we could sit back and rest on our laurels, but the bottom line is, God does lead according to knowledge. Besides, look in 1 Corinthians. We're so close. If if we were to just sit back and just say, oh, let the Lord lead in all this, why didn't Paul do that? In fact, why did Paul here in 1 Corinthians 15 talk about outproducing everybody else? And that wasn't his goal, but he was zealous. He was just doing his best for God, and that was the natural outcome. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, and you're going to think old Paul is bragging here, but in verse number 10, notice he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And he was quick to give God the credit, but he made a statement here under Holy Spirit inspiration. And he said, I labored harder than the rest. Now, he was a late bloomer, if you want to put it that way. He got a late start when you consider the rest of the 12 walking for 3 years with Christ and ministering some time after that. And then Paul comes along. He gets saved. But he catches up, doesn't he? And when he's done, he says, I labored more abundantly than them all. You say, well, it doesn't matter if we work hard. It doesn't matter if we give God our best. God will just do what he wants to do anyway. That's fatalism, folks. We really don't believe in that. I think we ought to be as sharp as we can be. I think we ought to put the sharpest people in positions of ministry as possible. You know, we find that old Solomon did that. We read in 1 Kings 11:28, and the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, we can be super spiritual and just say, well, let God lead, let whatever. And that's a cop-out. God gave us a brain. God gave us ability. We should be using every resource possible to do our best for Christ. You know, I think of, we have one person from the Twin Cities down here, but right now at this time in their church's history down there, they live stream. So, hey, folks, they're watching right now, so I'm going to talk about Pastor Wartner in front of him, if I may. He's spending several hours every day out knocking doors. And the numbers I'm giving you week after week from this pulpit, and you go, wow, boy, that's a lot of people coming. There's a lot of people passing through. You need to understand that. But there's new people visiting every single week because he's out there working hard. There's just no substitute for good old W-O-R-K. And we read in James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You say, oh, I got faith. I'm just sitting around my blessed assurance having faith. Well, faith without works is dead. God help us to do our best for him. And by the way, those who are normally trying to do their best, you're going to be in the firing line of the critics. There's always the cold water committee that if you're trying to do something for God, they're going to throw cold water on you. They're going to get an attitude about you, that kind of thing. Don't worry about that. When's the last time they won a soul? When's the last time they brought a visitor to church? When's the last time they fasted for a day? When's the last time they prayed for an hour? Yeah, I think you can answer all those. It's always the critics that judge the motives of others. That's called variance in the Bible, by the way, folks. Don't have the spirit of variance. Don't be critical. And by the way, Elijah wasn't trying to be a showboat when he did that on top of Mount Carmel. He was doing what God led him to do. And when we go around second-guessing everybody, why do they do that? Why do they do that? I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. That's not your jurisdiction, okay? Stay within your realm of jurisdiction and everybody be happier. You don't like it when people second-guess you, do you? I don't like it when people second-guess me either. God help us to stay where we belong, our nose where we belong. Moses continually had critics, by the way. I was just reading about this morning. His relatives, actually, in both cases. Miriam was critical of him. Familiarity does breed contempt, by the way. And then Korah, his cousin, critical of him. I don't agree with the way he's doing things, that kind of thing. God help us. When you have Limburger cheese on your mustache, the whole world stinks. You remember that illustration? And there are people with a critical spirit, and they go around just, everything stinks. Everything stinks. The bottom line is, we ought to be doing our very best for Jesus Christ. There was a church someplace down in the South. I don't know where it was. Brother Clayton saw it. I didn't. But it was a Baptist church. And he arrived there to preach, and he noticed on the sign, such and such Baptist church. B-A-B-T-I-S-T, Baptist. Well, that's kind of how it sounds, you know. He said, I could not believe it. He said, that was so podunk.
Well, that might be fine in hillbilly country. It really would be. But not in Fargo, North Dakota, honestly. We ought to do our best. That's another thought. In Luke 12:48, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You just do your own personal best. You do your best for God, what God has given you as far as ability and talent goes. I find in Matthew 25 that Christ gives a parable about three servants getting three different amounts of talents. 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. Remember that? And the two who lived up to their ability, they were commended by the Lord. The one guy who didn't even try, he didn't give his best for the Lord, he heard that wicked and slothful servant from the Lord. By the way, wicked goes with slothful. Did you ever notice that? You say, "Oh, I'm a little bit slothful." I wouldn't admit that. Christ couples those two words together, wicked and slothful. God help us to do our best. We have so many things as a church that we want to do right now. You know, I'm thinking way down the road to building dormitories over in Africa and training students over there or in Thailand, place like that. But we have a project ahead of us here, one of the biggest things we've ever taken on. And folks, we've tried to make it the best we can within the budget that we can afford there. But God help us to do our best. It will have an effect. It really will. Well, finally, let's talk about the entreaty, the example, the exhortation, the effect, and the entreaty. If you would, look in Romans chapter 9, please. Romans chapter 9. May I make a plea for souls, an entreaty for souls? Paul, as I mentioned a moment ago, had a continual burden for souls. And he says something incredible here in Romans 9, verse 3. He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." We read on, we find out they're Jews. What's he mean here? I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. What he's saying here is I would give up my salvation. I would separate from Christ if the Jews would just be saved. Now, I couldn't say that. I'm not going to even begin to pretend I'm that spiritual. I wouldn't begin to lie to you. I wouldn't give up my salvation for absolutely anyone. If you think of the eternal consequences of dying without Christ, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. But Paul said, I could. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. It had to be Christ speaking through him because he was separated from the Father when he hung on the cross. But Christian, if you're saved, may I entreat thee, if I may, to do your best for Christ to reach souls. That's why he left us here after we got saved. And if you're here and you've never been truly born again, I don't know what more I could say or do. The reason so many people fail to find God is because they're not doing it with all their heart. They're really not seeking the Lord like Jeremiah says. It says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. By the way, somebody got saved, I think, on Monday this week here in the church, and I praise the Lord for that. But if you're going to find the Lord, you got to seek him. Now, he's seeking you, and you can't get saved unless he does. No man can come to the Father except he draw him. But are you reaching out to him? Are you listening during sermons? Are you taking time to search the Scriptures? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These are the tools that God uses to convert the unsaved. Are you seeking him? The problem is a half-hearted seeking. And the Bible says not slothful. And that means even in getting saved. Won't you do your best for Christ if you know him? He did his best for you. If you're here today and you're saved, are you giving him your very best? If you've never been saved, how about like Philip? Philip told the eunuch, he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Have you believed on Christ with all your heart? Do you do your best for God? Do you give your best for God? Can you say nothing but the best for him? Again, our text says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let every one of us today ask ourselves, am I doing the very best that I can for him?
You've been listening to Pastor Tony Skeving of the Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. If you would like a CD of today's message, you can obtain one by sending a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. That address again, Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. We hope you'll join Pastor Skeving next time right here on Pulpit Power. Pulpit Power is a production of Heaven 88.7.